I'm friends with a community of religious brothers and sisters that are mendicants. They go out and they beg for their food. And this first reading today is very important to them, because as they first began their mission amongst the poor, there was a question about going out and begging from the poor, who are struggling to meet the needs of their families. And this passage was given to them. So don't be afraid to go and to beg amongst the poor, for the jar of flour will never go dry, and the jug of oil will never be empty. We see in that first reading a proclamation of the word. The prophet says, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth." So the word of God is spoken. There is an invitation for belief. This community of sisters, they do a little play about this, and I never noticed this before, but in the passage it says that the widow had collected a couple of sticks. How many sticks are a couple?
Two.
And so as they're in the play and the widow has in her hand these two sticks, she places them in her hand, they cross in front of her, and she's looking at the two sticks in the shape of a cross. Now, obviously, we don't know what she looked at, but she had a couple of sticks. And you see this pause and this invitation for faith. And the widow believed the word spoken to her, and her actions reflected this belief. How often does God speak to us a word? What do we do with it? We dismiss it as so many words that come from the TV or the news or the stranger or the other person. We just assume that his word spoken to us is the same as CNN or Fox or NBC. And yet we see in the reading today an invitation to allow God's word to have its efficacious power, that it comes to us and it changes us if we allow it to. And so the widow believes and acts accordingly, and because of it, her household is blessed. There is food enough for everyone, not only for her and her son, but for the prophet of God. In the gospel text, we see the widow's mite, that play on words of the coin, the mite coins, and the strength. We see that the widow gives, she is clearly poor, and she gives everything. We've been speaking a lot about fear these last few days, and I can relate, because much of my life and much of my response to God and my vocation, the greatest fear that has come to me is of my own insufficiency. When God calls and saying to him, "Well, why would you call me? And please don't call me to anything beyond this or beyond that, because I can't do that. I can't do this." And yet what we see in Jesus' response to the action of the widow is that her poverty, in fact, gives her an ability to give everything. Her poverty is not an obstacle to God. It is in her poverty that God is glorified. I have a friend, this is a first time dad, and it's kind of been a while in coming. And so, you know, I think he was trying to be prepared for it, and then his son came, and it's like, I'm just not prepared for this. I'm not a natural father. This is not going the way that I think it should go. I'm like, brother, you need to be patient with yourself. It's only been a few months. I mean, come on. But ultimately, what I said to him was, he said, I'm not a natural father. And I said, praise the Lord. And he's like, what do you mean by that? I said, well, look, this is the deal. I said, your fathering of your son, you just declared, I am not a natural father. I said, wonderful. That means that if you were a natural father, then you would only be able to give what nature has given you. Your gift of fatherhood to your son would be limited by your ability. The fact that you don't have this as a natural gift, that's wonderful, because it means that you can give your poverty, and then God, in his strength, in his power, can make up the difference. And nothing can limit the fatherhood of God. Because you are weak, because you have little, then God can bless you in this. And if you're willing, and if you're courageous enough to give your inability, your weakness, that which you despise, that which you don't love about yourself, if you're able to give your weakness to this, then there is no limit to what God can't do in your fatherhood. I said, your son is blessed because you are a weak, natural father. Because your son will have to, he will get to experience the grace that God will pour into your life if you're willing to give that poverty to him. There is no reason for us to be afraid of our weaknesses. There is absolutely no reason to be afraid of our poverty. You know, the Corinthians passage of Paul, when he speaks about the thorn in his side, and ultimately he comes to the conclusion, and it's I don't usually say this because I'm not a scholar in you know, Greek language or anything, but this line in particular is so beautiful, because it says God is saying to Paul, he says, because my power is brought to its perfect end in your weakness. The reason why my power exists is to be brought into your weakness. My power finds its meaning in being brought into your life. Now think about that in the relationship of friends. When we as friends to someone else have something that can be brought into their life to bless them, we rejoice in that. Like, you know, I can't help you with this. I can't help you with this. But this one time, when you have this one need, I can give to you in this. And I want to give. Let me be a part of your life in this. Let me take my gift that I have and bring it into your life, because I can do this. How much more the joy of our Heavenly Father and desiring to give his power into our life to manifest it. And he's saying that this is the reason I have power, is to manifest it in your weakness. It's brought to its perfect theological end in you. And so Paul, like, complete change of attitude. And he says, therefore, I gladly boast of my weakness, because power is brought to its perfection. So today, I guess, just speaking into that fear, the fear that we are not enough, or that God's somehow crazy in calling us to be his disciples and follow after him. My brothers and sisters, God is glorified in every part of who we are when we say yes to him. And in fact, our weaknesses, they're actually the places where we can bring the greatest glory to God. So do not be afraid. Amen.